Our guests now are a couple of Auckland blokes trying to help other men by raising awareness of and money for mental health and prostate cancer. Bruce Cotterill and Paul Muir are the brains behind Bike for Blokes, a charity they set up last year as they cycled the length of the country, raising nearly $220,000. Bruce is a company director, business advisor and writer. Paul was in retail for 30 years, leading Rip Curl in New Zealand. Both men have had close friends and family members affected by prostate cancer and poor mental health, and worry about men not looking after or even talking about their health, and as a result, often getting a late diagnosis. So this year, they are aiming even higher, taking extra riders with them, who are tasked with raising $50,000 each. Overall, the group hope to raise $400,000. They set off from Cape Reinga next month, and they're in the Auckland studio now. Kia ora korua, Bruce and Paul, great to talk. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
It's a hell of a time for the city, of course, isn't it? And straight away, we're into the mental health stresses that are part and parcel of our lifestyles. One of the issues you guys really want to focus on.
Yes, it is. As you said in your introduction, we've both had you know, friends, family members affected by mental health, and more, as you would know, Catherine, we're seeing that in the community. I guess people have permission to talk about it a lot more these days, and the extent of the problem is becoming more and more apparent. I suspect it'll have a little peak after the weekend's events in Auckland, and so it's a topic that doesn't seem to go away, sadly, so all the more reason to continue to try and focus on ways that we can help people that are affected.
Is that Bruce I'm speaking with? Sorry,
that's,
I didn't check.
Yes, yeah. That's Bruce.
Hi, thanks, Bruce. And Paul, look, I know this is very personal for you. And is it important as one deals with impacts on family and friends, is it important to have the ability to do something positive, the ability to do something practical to help others?
Oh, absolutely. The whole idea of the ride, once Bruce convinced me that we needed to do it, was to get men to talk. And whether we're talking about mental health or we're talking about prostate cancer, I mean, men generally just don't chat. We can talk about rugby, we can talk about pretty much anything else, mostly golf handicaps and other weird stuff, but the reality is that we don't talk about the serious stuff, and mental health is a massive part of it. It's a massive part of it in New Zealand right now, and it's only getting worse. And yes, it is a personal thing. For anyone that followed us last year, we did a bit of a vlog in the morning and the evening after our ride. And part of the ride last year, I rode on my brother's birthday, and I'd lost him the previous year. Decided for whatever reason that the only way out for him was to take his life, and the tragedy that was, but you know, the ramifications of leaving a wife and two teenage children behind, and it's some pretty angry brothers, to be fair. Unfortunately, he wasn't living in New Zealand at the time. He was in Europe, so he was fairly remote, plus COVID. We couldn't get there. We just kind of lost touch with him, really, which is what happens when people get into that state of mind. So, yeah, look, it hit us pretty hard. And so this opportunity to go for a ride to raise money for mental health and for prostate, were the two charities we chose, and it was super relevant, and unfortunately it's just getting worse, and so this ride's become even more relevant, hence the ambition to try and raise more money and throw more resource at it.
Bruce, there was a conversation, I think, between the pair of you. I think Paul's just alluded to the fact you might have convinced him. And, you know, where were you at the time? And what was the nature of that conversation that took you off on, you know, a pretty amazing journey and now a second one?
Well, you might recall the government finally let us out to have picnics in Auckland last year. And we were having a picnic and we'd all been locked up for a bit long, and we were all a bit grumpy with everything. And it wasn't long after what Paul's just referred to, and we'd always talked about doing the bike ride, but more as a bucket list sort of thing rather than as a campaign or a fundraiser. And I think I just let slip over a beer that maybe it's time we went and did that bike ride we've always been talking about. and
that Bruce has been talking about.
That I've been talking about. And sort of, so we nodded at each other, didn't tell anybody, and spent 3 months making sure we could ride the distances and getting ourselves fit. And then just before Christmas last year, we decided to, or Christmas 21 now, we decided to press the button and give it a go. And we kicked off all of our activities in terms of fundraising and getting logos and sponsors and so on in January, about this time last year, actually. And a couple of months later, it was all done, $217,000 in the bank, as you said. And it's been amazing. And I think, you know, what started as just a couple of blokes from the city going for a bike ride, the support and the momentum and companies like Armstrong's, I approached Rick Armstrong, the motor vehicle group principal, and he gave us straight away. He didn't even hesitate. He just said, "Yeah, we'll sponsor you. We'll be your naming sponsor. We'll give you a vehicle." They were the first people to sign up again for this year, and then just a flow of people followed. You know, Pack and Save, the law firm Duncan Cottrell, the Buffett and Thompson families, and so on and so forth. It's just been amazing.
Just listening to you and running through those professions, and we know what the mental health and, regrettably, what the suicide statistics tell us, and that business of, you know, the chief executives always having to cope, the farmers always having to cope, you know, just rattling through that, it gets right to the heart of what you're talking about. There is no one who cannot be impacted by severe and distressing mental health issues. There's no walk of life. It doesn't matter how able you are, how capable you are. And there is just too often a need to be seen, to be coping, and too little opportunity to say, actually, this just goes with the territory and I want to talk.
It's it is relevant for the, you know, with the farming community that have just been had the hell beaten out of them for the last couple of years with unwanted taxes and extra paperwork and financial pressure. And there was a little bit of an irony for both of us to have like two townies riding for the country. You know, the full extent of our country is probably just mowing the lawn. But, you know, the reality is that the stories we've heard about, I mean, the farmers spend a lot of time on their own and just dwelling, you know, facing massive debts and then annually sort of getting a chance to reduce it. But the time they spend on their own, on their machinery, on their farm, they're doing fantastic work for the country, and it's hard to know from their perspective like how bad it is. And once we started doing this, and some of the stories we heard were just seriously, they were off the scale bad. And it was great to hand over that check earlier in the year, well, middle of last year, and seeing it doing some good.
Where is the money going? Just to explain, because I think you're going, as we said, for over 400 this time. And just to explain, have you been specific about a range of organisations or a range of specific initiatives? Where's it going?
Absolutely. So when we first kicked off, Catherine, we decided right from the start that we wanted it to go to men or men's health. There's a lot of charities out there for women and kids and other groups, and rightly so. And I wouldn't demean any of the work that goes on in any of those charities for a second. But there's not much out there for men, and sometimes men need help too. So we focused pretty clearly on how we could help men, and we did some research around different charities. And the two that came to the top of the pile, Farmstrong, which is the mental health charity for farmers, headed by a really, really cool team of people. And we gave them $100,000 last year, and what they did with the money is they have a goal. They've got a fantastic book called Live Well, Farm Well, and it's their goal to get a copy of that book into the hands of every farming family in the country. And so our money enabled them to print about another 10,000 copies of that book, plus to create two more online modules for targeted at farmers' mental health. And then the other charity is the Prostate Cancer Outcomes Registry, which is a bit different to the big prostate cancer charities. It doesn't benefit too much from the big fundraising events, but they're doing absolutely unique work in that when a man has prostate cancer, we collect a lot of data, as we do with all cancer patients, but we don't do a heck of a lot with that data. So these guys are using our money to employ PhD students and highly capable technical people who are turning that data into information, and it's information that will help them target communities. In other words, it's information that will identify where people are more likely to get prostate cancer, and also how people react. A lot of men may well have surgery or treatment for prostate cancer, but blokes being blokes, they don't put their hands up afterwards and say, hey, I'm still lasting some lingering effects from this. And so this information that they're creating enables them to identify people who may well not respond to treatment or respond as well as they hope and get back to them rather than wait for the guy to put their hand up. And so two charities doing really cool work that nobody else is doing, and as I say, specifically targeted at men. And we kind of like that about both of them. And so we're supporting those two charities again. Our goal is to get at least $150,000 into each of their hands this time round. And then if we do make our $400,000 target, perhaps we can start helping some second-tier charities that we haven't got to yet.
Paul, you mentioned earlier, it's obvious you've been collecting stories, if I can put it that way. You've been hearing about the lives and what's going on in the lives of many men in their families, in their businesses, in their homes. And can you elaborate a little bit more? Like, this isn't just about the fundraising. Is this also about, you know, building an awareness, but also people just sort of reaching out? What sorts of things have you heard and learned?
They're all pretty basic stories, really. I mean, it's just we heard a lot of stories just about people's lives. And, you know, the average person, look, everyone's going through a degree of difficulty in one way or another, and obviously the weather event in Auckland over the last few days and potentially the one looming over the next 24-odd hours. Look, I've got a good mate that lives in Christchurch who lived through the earthquakes, and, you know, some of the... When you give people the chance to talk, they do open up. It's just giving them the environment to talk in or just opening the conversation, and invariably, even blokes, they're quite keen to... start telling you their story. And look, it's the mental health side of things. We got a donation from a guy, Stu the Farmer. Never met Stu the Farmer. I got introduced to him on another radio station. We did an interview standing on the beach in Kaikoura, and he gave us $1,000. He liked what we were doing. Excuse me. He liked what we were doing. He stuck in his machine, tractors and stuff, day in, day out, 7 days a week, working his property. And he just said, look, I just get too much time to think, and I've got too much going on, and the farm's going well, but the pressures, it's weather-related, it's everything else. I mean, and that's just the farming story generally across the whole country. And, look, uniquely stories, I mean, you know, we ran into a couple in Owakuni that were riding, they were riding around Owakuni on their 60th wedding anniversary. They were both in their early 80s. And they wanted to chat. Said we told them what we were doing. We're two guys sitting in cycling gear in Owakuni. It was about 5 degrees. They're wondering what the hell we were doing. To be fair, but
you up the mountain?
Exactly. But by the time we told them what we were doing, and then he gave us a rundown on his life, and his wife gave us a bit of a rundown on their life, and together, and then he reached into his pocket and just threw some loose. He said, "Sorry, this is all we've got. It's like $7.20 in loose change." And, we had no idea what we were going to do with it because carrying loose change on a bike's not really a good idea. And but just the generosity, and you know, they wanted a chance to talk, and they had a chat. It was fantastic. Just engaging people. And it was truly a humbling experience, to be fair. Like, I'm still even thinking about it now, kind of hard to believe at times.
It's a really good little sort of byline for it, isn't it? Engaging people. I know you used it in one kind of... figure of speech, but actually it fits in another as well, because this is about the visibility. Go ahead.
I was just saying, look, I mean, it's 100% correct. I mean, the reality is, like, even in the last 48 hours talking to people about the rain event here in Auckland, and you know, luckily enough we were fine, but everywhere, I mean, even just sneaking out for a training ride yesterday, just watching seeing the amounts of wet furniture and bedding and so forth outside the front of people's houses, and the slips and the impact on property, and like everyone I've bumped into and talked to, they've got a story about it, you know. And you know, it's similar to the Christchurch event with the earthquake, you know, everyone's got a story about it, and it's shocking. I mean, people just it's honestly, riding around her at the moment is just horrific.
It is, yeah. Bruce, can we just, I just don't want to leave the prostate issue either, because really interesting that work that's being done, by started by, I think, by these four surgeons.
Yes.
And just help me make sure I get what's going on. Is this a case where the more data that is built up in this registry, you're getting way better information that actually impacts decision-making over care? Or is it personal to the individual patient, to use the medical term? Just explain again.
Yeah, it's a combination of both. It's, you know, every time somebody gets sick, we collect all the data, but the question is, do we do anything with it? And so this is enabling them to turn that data into useful information to help them target communities. So they will see at-risk communities, particularly rural communities, Maori men in particular. So that helps them target specific areas where there might be a greater risk of men having prostate cancer. And of course, in those communities, men are even less likely to talk about their health than us city blokes. So it's sort of, it becomes exponential in terms of the impact. And then as I mentioned before, the other key component is the aftercare, post-operation or post-treatment, and making sure that men recover, and if they're not recovering, that the attention is getting to them. And because we're not very good at putting our hands up, some of this information is helping them to identify men who might not make a full recovery. So
it's proactive. So
it is, yeah,
gotcha.
It's proactive, and it's life changing. And you know, Paul and I have, you know, we're part of a close group of mates. You know, guys late 50s, early 60s, and a third of those men, you know, who are still working, active, golfing, you know, fellas, are. A third of those guys have had a brush with prostate cancer in some way, shape, or form. And so that's about the market stat, you know, about a third of men are getting affected. It's as big, if not bigger, than breast cancer in terms of the number of people affected. And because us blokes don't talk, it doesn't get enough airtime.
It's a really interesting point you make, too, about the aftercare, because it's not just that decision, I've got these symptoms, oh shit, I better, excuse me, that's another cancer, but I'd better go to the doctor, right? We know that reticence is an issue,
yep.
And of course the earlier diagnosed, massive implications in most cancers, massive implications in the outcome, but it's the aftercare as well. It's that, okay, is this happening the way it should be? Should this still be happening this long afterwards? Should I still be having this pain? And if someone's coming at you with the question, it's just far more likely to happen, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, you go back to your comment, engaging people. You know, for people to engage, they have to talk. And what we're saying to men is just go out and get a check. You know, it's not hard. Go and get a PSA check from your GP. If your GP says you don't need it, you're a fit, healthy fella, tell the GP you want it anyway. Get checked, get tested, and keep doing it. And it's the same with the mental health. You know, just talk to people. This whole thing has turned into us trying to tell other blokes, just put your hand up if you want to chat or if you need a test. You've got to be a little bit proactive yourself. If you want other people to come in and look after you, first we need to know there's a problem.
Bruce Cottrell and Bruce Muir are our guests, the brains behind Bike for Blokes, a charity they set up last year. They cycled the length of the country, raising nearly $220,000. They're doing it again and aiming to top $400,000 this time. Prostate cancer and mental health work that's in their focus. You're listening to 9 to Noon on RNZ National. You kept it a bit on the D-low at the start after that picnic and beer. And trained first. And, you know, just what's it been? You may be perfectly fit guys, golfers, I'm sure. You might be highly active, or it might have been a bit of a shock to the system to get that fit, to take on a not inconsequential task. What's been the experience for your own physical health?
Well, it's probably been pretty good for our health overall. We snuck away for 3 months to sort of just said to each other, look, just go ride for 3 months, we'll regroup and just see how we feel. And we did a pretty good job, but once you start, the reality, literally once the rubber hit the road in Katrianga, there was to go, wow, okay, that's good. I think we averaged 110K a day,
yeah,
roughly, a couple of really big days, a couple of smaller days, but you ride yourself fit as well. I mean, we're pretty good to start with. We had a pretty fun day coming out of Katrianga. We rode into a headwind for like 2 weeks, literally, but felt pretty good. And the guy that was with us in the van, keeping an eye on us, that he was doing great work, stopped at the Kai Tai 90K to go. We'd only written 20K. We felt like we'd been on the road all day. So we've had sort of instances like that. But mentally, pretty good. I mean, it was both a personal challenge for both of us. I know I certainly got a lot out of it in actually achieving it. I'm fairly sure there's people who have held off on donating anything and to make sure that we actually finished it first before they gave us any money.
Here's a down payment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, and they took great delight in reminding us that you finish it, we'll pay you. But look, the finishing of it was the most satisfying thing I think I've done for an extremely long time. And so mentally, physically, yeah, it was great. If someone had given us more money, I would have ridden home.
You would have gone back again. Yeah. Bruce, were there any moments where you thought, why the hell am I here? Like, there must have been some headwinds. I have a theory that every wind is a headwind on a bicycle.
You remember the tough days. As Paul touched on before, you know, every day has a story. And some of those stories is the old Maori fella in the supermarket car park who comes up and gives you $20 or the guy in the big truck and trailer unit in the South Island who pulls his rig over the side of the road and jumps out and gives you $100. You have a few of those sort of stories, but the other stories from the riding, the tough days you remember. We had a shocking headwind. We had shocking headwinds a lot of the way, but 3 days in particular. One, we got to Dargaville after riding up through the Waipua Forest, which was about 1,600 metres of climbing. So it was already a tough day. And because we were on the sort of tail end of COVID, none of the motels in Dargaville were open. So we had to ride another 30 k's into a headwind. So that was a day we'll remember. Yeah. The Kaikoura Coast, we had 100 kilometres full on into a 25 knot southerly on the Kaikoura Coast, as beautiful as it is. I don't have fond memories of that. Unfortunately, we're going to go back there and do that again this year, Catherine. So I'm kind of hoping that the weather gods are a bit more gentle on us. But then we had beautiful days. You know, we didn't get rained on. So that, you know, you spend 22 days, 2,600 kilometres, and we didn't get wet. Hard to believe living in New Zealand at the moment that that's possible. But so we had our share of good weather as well.
So when does the next one happen? And also, I've got a link through to the blog here, which has got some great images from the last event. Is that where people should go if they want to follow and contribute to the next one?
Yeah.
Bikeforblokes.co.nz.
Yep, that's it.
Go and have a look at where we did the craziness of last year. And the route will be there. The links will be there.
You're live tracking.
We're live tracking.
So Paul gets to carry the transponder.
So it was full disclosure. We didn't hide anywhere. In fact, one day I forgot to turn it on and I got a phone call to say that I was still 40 kilometres away sitting in a motel unit waiting to leave. But apart from that, it was pretty good.
It's pretty much straight up the middle, isn't it? That's
Bikeforblokes.co.nz. We've now got the payment, the Stripe payment mechanism up on the website. So you can make a donation, you can follow us, you can come and join us for an hour or a day. So we do invite people to ride with us. As long as you're reasonably competent and can average about 25 k's an hour, you'll be able to sit with us for a while out there on the roads. Our goal is to have 100 people join us this year. Last year we had 45. And so if you want to come and ride with us somewhere along the way, please do.
Great stuff. And is this March? This is all happening?
No, we kick off on the 20th of February. We leave Cape Reinga. We're a bit worried at the moment about the state of Northland's roads.
Subject to roads.
So keep an eye on the website if you are thinking about joining us, because I suspect our route, particularly up north, will probably change a couple of times between now and the 20th of February.
Go well, guys. Thank you. Bruce Cotterill and Paul Muir. And there is a link through to that website on our webpage.